Okay, let's begin. First thing let's discuss is Ashamnu. A couple ideas relating to Yom Kippur. The first thing let's discuss is that when we say Ashamnu, we clap al chait, and it's broken up, the nigun, the way we clap al chait together is broken up into different parts. I've always wondered why the chazan stops and sings at certain parts. Oshamnu, boganu, gozalnu, dibarnu, dofi, why did he have to catch his breath after he said dibarnu, dofi? Then he goes further. Okay, maybe four. Maybe this key is four words, right? Ashamnu, boganu, gozalnu, dibarnu, dofi. Okay. Hevinu, vihirshanu, zadnu, chamasnu, tofalnu, sheker. Five. Oh, that's one answer. Sheker. Okay.
Right.
Then, now comes the real stretch. Yoatznura. That's also two words, though. Yasnura, Atzakasha. Kizavnu, latznu, moradnu, Niatsnu, Sararnu, Avinu, Poshanu, Sararnu, Kishinu, 10! Wow, that's a lot. This is not considered. 4, 5, 10? And then, Roshanu, Shichasnu, Tiavnu, Toinu, Titanu, 5.
And what? 22 should be.
There are 20, there's more than 22, because after we come to Tiavnu, we have two more tofs. We have three tofs. We have Toinu, and then Titanu. So what is the logic behind the breakup? It's a big mystery. So the simple reason Rabbi Raevsky mentioned is that it doesn't work perfectly is that when you come to a expression that has two words, that is a break point. Okay, it's not really clear why. Ashamnu, boganu, gozalnu, those are all single words. But when it comes to dibarnu, it's dibarnu dofi. Oh, dibarnu dofi, there are two words. So that's an indication, repetition, emphasis. Whenever Chazal have repeated something for emphasis, they want us to focus on it. So we sing. Ah-ha-ha-ya-ya-ya. By singing, what lingers in our minds? Dibarnu dofi. It's a very serious sin. It's a very serious sin that we, our evil speech, we are have to more tshuva for speech. Now we go further. Hadinu, vihushanu, zadnu, chamasnu, tafalnu sheker. So we come to tafalnu sheker, that is also a repetition of words, two words, the sheker. We have counseled. Accused. Tafalnu sheker, we have accused people. We have accused people. Tafalnu sheker means we have accused people falsely. Okay, then we have Yu'atz. Now, the problem is Yu'atz Nura is also double. Kizavnu, latznu, moradnu, niatznu, sararnu, avinu, poshanu, tsararnu, kishinu, oref. We are stiff-necked people. That is that two words. That's why we repeat it. And then we come to the very end and we sing at the very end.
Okay. Don't say Siyanu
Avvahim. So this is... What?
Siyanu Avvahim.
No, not in Nusach Ashkenaz. Maybe in a different Nusach. Not in this version of the art school Machzor.
Only the Parsi, they have parents, no Ashkenazim?
Okay, let's... Now, I saw an idea, a very nice idea, an interesting idea from Rav David. Rav David quotes this in a name, I don't know who he quotes this from, and he says the code, the logic why we break it up is because we want to allude to the first person that confessed. Who was the first person that said vidui?
Cain.
No. Yehuda. Yehuda, not Ruvein. Ruvein the tshuva. But the first one in the Torah that openly confessed, tzadka mimeni, openly, explicitly in the Torah, tzadka mimeni who confessed is Yehuda. Yehuda, and that's why his name is Hoida. Hoida, Yehuda comes to Lashon Hava. Hoida is to admit. So we want to... What? Godol Avoni Minnesota. That's only after he was accused. That's only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronted him. So Hashem first confronted him and told him that you have sinned. Over here, Yehuda on his own. Yehuda on his own admitted to his sin. No one provoked him. I mean, Tamar said, "Lemi, to the one that I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to admit, admit. If you don't want to admit, you can get away with it. No one will ever know about it." Yehuda was the first one in the Torah explicitly admitted to his sin. In other words, he's the first one that said vidui. He's the first one that confessed the real deal, not in any roundabout way. Therefore, we want to allude two Yehudim, and then Yafta. I don't know why the letters are not arranged in the proper order, but that's why the letters here, it doesn't work out perfectly, but pretty much allude to Yehuda. The first set is four. Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi. That's a Dalit. That's the Dalit of Yehuda. Now, the next is five letters. Hevinu, Vihirshanu, Zanu, Chamastafanu, Sheker. That is the letter He. There are two He's in Yehuda. That's one He of Yehuda. Next, there's a series of 10 sins. That's Yud. And then the last is another five. That's five. So far we have all the letters of Yehuda without the Vav. Where is the Vav? So there are different Ravakon, the Vav, different Ramaz. And first, the first remedy says is at the very end, we say, after we finish saying the Vida, we say, Sarnu b'mitzvasecha b'mishrotecha toivim v'lo yishavlanu v'yata tzadik al kol haba aleinu kiyem es asisa. And then what do? Va'anachnu hirshanu. We emphasize one of the 24 references with the words Hirshanu. What is Hirshanu? Hirshanu is the sixth one. Ashamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, Hevinu, Vihirshanu. You ever notice that? You say Hirshanu, and then when you come to the very, very end, Sarnu, we go back to number 6. Why are we going back to number 6? We're going back to number 6 because we're missing the Vav. We want to remind Hashem and remind ourselves of the Zuchus of Yehuda. We come from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called after Shevet Yehuda, the Malchus of Yehuda. And what is Yehuda? Yehuda was the person who confessed. And that is what we desperately need on Yom HaKippur. We need to confess. So we have here all the letters. We've sung all the letters of which spell out the letters of Yehuda. The only one that we're missing is the Vav, of Vav. So we come back to the Hirshanu, because the Hirshanu is the sixth of the list to emphasize the missing Vav, to be mashlem the shame Yehuda. Okay, it's not a perfect Vart, but there's something there. There's something there too, where I found it to be a little bit interesting. Yeah.
Why at certain times do you say Kotasi or VC Pushati?
Yeah.
And at other times you say Oshamnu or Gadnu. In other words,
in the plural.
Why is there something unique that at certain times it's used to you?
Well, simply when the tzibur is confessing together as a community.
But why?
Then we say Oshamnu, plural. It's private.
Why can't I say Oshamti? Because I said Kotasi.
I don't know. It all depends on the nusach hatfila. Where in the tefila what we're trying to, how we're confessing. I don't know the answer. Now I want to tell you an incredible chiddush. Now this chiddush is not lahalach. I want to emphasize that 100 times. This is not accepted in halacha to be correct. But it's said by one of the Gedolei Olam, Rab Wolf Buskowitz. It's one, he wrote a sefer called Seder Mishnah. I think he's the son of the Bach. One of the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch had a son. He wrote a very chashuv sefer on the Rambam. It's a very popular sefer on the Rambam. It's called what? I'm not sure. I'm making a mistake. Maybe I don't remember exactly. His name was. He wrote a sefer on the Rambam called Seder Mishnah. Rabbi Wolf Beis Vav Samach Kuv Vav Yud Tzadi Buskowitz. Baskowitz. Baskowitz. So he says a tremendous chiddush. And the first of Falpal in his chiddush, there's something on Yom Kippur called Tosefes Yom Kippur. Just like there's something called Shabbos, Tosefes Shabbos, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be moisef michol ala kodesh, that we don't observe just Shabbos from the moment that this from sundown until Tzitzak Uchavim. You're supposed to observe a few more minutes. Women light candles 18 minutes before sundown. Why 18 minutes? Tais for Shabbos. You're supposed to add a little bit to Shabbos. Shabbos is not over the very moment. You're supposed to, don't rush to end Shabbos. You wait a few minutes. You makayim a mitzvah derais of Tais for Shabbos. Yom Kippur is the same thing. Being the Yom Kippur Shabbos is an inyan of Tais for Shabbos for Yom Kippur. Now, how much time do you have to add on Shabbos to makayim the mitzvah derais of Tais for Shabbos? Halacha l'maisa, a mashahu. If you wait even 1 second more after the time is over, l'shem tois for Shabbos, you mekayim a mitzvah derais of tois for Shabbos. If you start Shabbos even 1 second before Shabbos officially begins, you mekayim tois for Shabbos. Why? Because when you moisif to Shabbos, what is Shabbos? What defines the nature of Shabbos? The iser melacha. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do 39 categories of labor. How long does it take to do a simple melacha? Pick any melacha you want. A zareya, koitzer, oifer, whatever. Any melacha. A second. It doesn't take more than a second. If you hold a turning on a light, turning on a light is ash. Let's say lighting a fire. You light a match. How long does it take you to light a match? A second. So since the nature of the Shabbos is defined by the Isser Melacha, and to do a Melacha only takes a second, and now we have an obligation to be Moisef Michol Ala Kodesh, the sheer Zman of Toysef Shabbos is the amount of time it takes to do a Melacha, which is 1 second. Don't do a Melacha for an additional second. Hashem told you not to do Melacha on Shabbos, so don't do a Melacha after Shabbos is really over for 1 more second to be Moisef Michol Ala Kodesh. Don't do Melacha before Shabbos begins for 1 more second. The amount of time it takes to do Melacha is 1 second. Okay. So he goes on to say, the Seder Mishnah goes on to say, when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's true that Yom Kippur you don't do Melacha. But that's not the essence of Yom Kippur. The essence of Yom Kippur is, the Torah makes it clear, V'inisem esnaf shayseichem. This is the unique mitzvah sayon. You shall torture yourself, afflict your soul. And then I tell you, what is the inui? What is the inisim esnav shosechem? The prohibition to eat and drink. Now everyone knows, can't live in America not know, that comes the Pesach Seder, you have in front of you a nice chart and tells you how you have to eat the matzah within a certain amount of time. How much time do you have to eat the matzah? Kedei achilas pras. You can't take a little bite of the kazayis. They have a kazayis, they have a chart. How big is the kazayis? It's about the size, whatever. Half a matzah, a third of a matzah, whatever it is. And you have to eat the matzah, the entire kazayis, b'chdei achilas pras. What is the time of achilas pras? So different opinions among the poskim. Between 2 to 9 minutes. Ideally, if you can swallow the entire matzah within 2 minutes, excellent. But don't risk your life to do it. If it takes you a little bit longer, it's okay. You can swallow the matzah within 9 minutes. Kedei achilas pras. The amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, that's the zman called achila. So along comes the Mishnah Torah, the Mishnah, and he says, when Yom Kippur is over, and now there's a mitzvah derais of Tosfos Yom Kippur, do you know how much time you have to wait in order to be mekayim the mitzvah derais of Tosfos Yom Kippur? 9 minutes. Between 2 and 9 minutes. When Shabbos is over, let's say you hold Shabbos over 50 minutes after sunset. Let's say that's your Shita. Right? You follow Rav Moshe, you wait exactly 50 minutes after sunset, that's when Shabbos is over. Now you want to be Mekayim Tois for Shabbos. So how much longer do you have to wait in Mekayim Tois for Shabbos? I won't do Melacha for 1 more second. Shabbos over exactly 8 o'clock on the dot. I won't do Melacha until 8 o'clock in 1 second. I was L'shem Kedusha Shabbos. I was Mekayim Tois for Shabbos. Yom Kippur, you want to Mekayim the Mitzvah Derais of Tois for Yom Kippur? So let's say you machmir and you hold that Kedei Achilas Pras is 9 minutes. The amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread in Talmud Chazal was 9 minutes. That's the Zman of Achila. Since the essence of the day, Tzuma Shel Yoyim, is Inisim Es Nafshah, you're not allowed to eat, the Zman Achila is 9 minutes. You're not Mekayim Tosfos Yom Kippur unless you wait until 8:09. Isn't that an incredible chiddush? Tosfos Yom Kippur to Mekayim V'nises Nazoseichem is 9 minutes. That, now, Gedi Gos is in a bigger chiddush. And what about Tosfos Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur begins? So he says, what does the Olam do? Olam, if the fast begins, let's say, at sundown, really supposed to say Kol Nidre a few minutes, so he's supposed to be in shul. But let's say you're not going to shul, you're going to be home. So let's say like the Tisha B'Av. So what do people do? Some people, they manage to wait till the very, very last minute. If the fast begins at 8 o'clock, I am going to sip my coffee until 7:59. I have an atomic clock. I know when the time is. 8 o'clock is the fast until 7:59 and 55 seconds. I'm going to be sipping my coffee. So the Tosefes Bracha says, the Seder Mishnah says, since the essence of Yom Kippur is V'nisim es nafsho seichem, when do you begin to feel hungry after a meal? Well, let's go to Halacha. If a person eats, until when can he bench? 72 minutes. Because after 72 minutes, the body has digested the food to a degree where you're no longer deriving benefit. The previous meal is over. You have to start your fast 72 minutes before the Zman of Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur begins. Because since the essence of the day is V'inisem es nafsho seichem, if you're going to eat until the very last moment, you're not going to feel inui until 72 minutes into the day. So you have to begin the entire day in a state of inui. And the only way you can be in a state of inui is to finish your meal 73 minutes, because you won't have tosfos Yom Kippur. So you have to be in the state of inui, so 72 and a second before Yom Kippur begins. That way, when Yom Kippur begins, you are already beginning in a matziv of the inisim es nafsho seichem. If the prohibition was don't eat, okay, I'm not eating. I can eat till the very, very last moment, and now when Yom Kippur begins, I'm not going to eat. But that's not the way the Torah defines the nature of the day. The Torah defines the nature of the day is afflict yourself. It happens to be the way you afflict yourself is by not eating. But if you're going to eat until the very last moment, and Yom Kippur is going to begin, and you have to be a full stomach for the first 72 minutes, you have not fulfilled the needs of Esnatra Sechem those first 72 minutes. So you have to stop eating 72 minutes before Yom Kippur begins, in order that now when Yom Kippur begins, you'll be in the state of Yom Kippur. That's an incredible chiddush by a very holy Baal Halacha. As I mentioned before, we do not paskin like this. It's unheard of. You've never seen a person begin the fast 72 minutes before Yom Kippur, and you've never seen a person be makbid on Tisvis Yom Kippurim for 9 minutes. But it's something very interesting, which definitely, even though we don't extend this to Halacha, it does bring out, it captures a very interesting approach to understand what is the essence of the day. The essence of the day is V'nisa Shashachim, which is filled through Achila, and there's some logic to it of 9 minutes afterwards and 7 2 minutes before. I'm running out of time. I have to finish
not only eating and drinking.
That's Midrabanan. Minatora, the Inui is only eating and drinking. Midrabanan, there are three other Inuyim. Sicha, Rechitza, and Tashmish Amita. Those are only Midrabanan, not Minatora. Nilfa Sandal. Minatora, the only two things in Nala Adonia Makipur, Minatora is eating and drinking.
How do you know that?
It's in the Gemara. The Gemara in Msechta Yoma. In Perek, which Perek is it? It's in the Gemara. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to discuss a minhag. There's a beautiful minhag on Yom Kippurim where everyone says Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Le'olam Voed out loud. Now you should be aware there are different minhagim. In some communities, where I've read up is that the only one that says it out loud is the Shliach Tzibur. Don't get carried away. Just because you're in the audience, you don't necessarily have a right to raise your voice and say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olavod out loud. The one that says it out loud is the Shliach Tzibur.
Can you say it together with him?
You say it quietly, like you always say it. Only he says it out loud. However, that's not...
Did you say Amen after it?
No. You don't say Amen. He says it out loud. That appears to be an old minhag. However, among us, in our community, that's not the minhag. The minhag is everyone says it out loud. There are different customs how loud you should say it. Some have the custom, I didn't know this, is that you're supposed to scream it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say it louder than you would normally say. Now, others say, no, you don't have a right to say, scream it louder than you would normally say it. You say it the same way. You say Shema. You say, V'yohavta eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol nedecha. So you say, Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso li'olam v'ed. Not to scream. Baruch. You don't scream out. However, the others disagree, and others say that you should indeed, you should say it out very, very loud. Now the question is why? Why on Yom Kippur do we say it out loud? So first we have to understand why in general we do not say, why in general do we say Baruch Shem in an undertone? So the answer given is because Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu did not say it. Moshe said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, and Moshe wrote the parasha of Yehavta, and Moshe Noah said Baruch Shem. It must be Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it's not proper to say Baruch Shem out loud. On the other hand, we have a Medrash. The Medrash says that when the children of Yaakov came before Yaakov, Yaakov was dying, the children said to their father, Yaakov accused them, maybe there's someone here that's not with the program. And all of the children said, no, father, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Yaakov responded, Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso Li'olam V'ed. So the Gemara says, we have a contradiction. Moshe didn't say it. Yaakov said it. What do we do? So the pshar is, we say it quietly. That's one medrash. There's another medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, where did he learn Baruch Shem? From the Malachim when he went to Shemayim to receive the Torah. So the Malachim, he stole it from the Malachim. When you steal something, and a person breaks into the Met, and he steals the most expensive painting, you don't hang it up. You don't hang it up on the wall, right? You're just looking for trouble. So what's the hana of stealing the painting? The hana of stealing the painting is that in your private dining room, you can hang it up. That's the hana. I have the Mona Lisa. Look at this. I have it in my dining. Every time I have it. Maybe my family, everyone knows the secret. We all come together. Right? So I have the hana of having a priceless painting. But it's not something you can advertise for the hamoin am. So same thing. Moshe stole it, kaviyachol, from the malachim. So we don't advertise that we've stolen it because they're going to get a little bit upset, the malachim, when they hear... Yeah. When they hear that we are have stolen goods. So the only way we can have pleasure from our stolen goods is by saying it quietly. So the two midrashim, they are a little bit different. Now there is another medrash which connects into the second medrash, connects into the first medrash. I told you that when Yaakov Avinu accused his children of not being with the program, what was their response? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How did Yaakov respond? So I told you the Medrash. He responded with the words Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Voed. There's another Medrash. The other Medrash says that Yaakov even responded by saying Yehei Shmei Rabo Mivarach Le'olam Ulyolmei Olmaya. We have conflicting Midrashim. Did Yaakov Avinu say Baruch Shem, or did Yaakov say Yehei Shmei Rabo? So all the Mepharshim deal with this question, this contradiction of the Midrashim, and even though it's very convenient to say that the Midrashim disagree, which is done all the time, here they want to say there is no contradiction because Yehei Shmei Rabba is a translation, is basically an Aramaic translation of the words Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Voed. And now we can understand why we say the Kaddish, we say it, I would say it in Aramaic, because Aramaic is the only language which the Malachim do not understand. The Malachim understand Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh. They may not understand foreign languages, but they do not understand Aramaic. So since this concept of Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso Li'olam V'ed comes from them, and to some degree it's been stolen from them, if we want to say it, we can say it in one of two ways. We can say it in the original form, in the Hebrew form, Baruch Shem, but quietly, quietly. Or we can put it on eBay, but just code. Don't write, I have the Mona Lisa. Write some funny term which people who need to know know, but the authorities are not going to know about it. You have a code, so we say in Aramaic, Baruch Sheyeh Shmei Rabba Mivarach Le'olam Ulom Elmaya. That is the translation of Baruch Shem Kemalchus Le'olam, went into a language which the Malachim do not understand. Therefore, we are able to say that out loud. Okay. Yom Kippur, now, with that background in mind, that's the whole background why we do not say Baruch Shem out loud. Why then on Yom Kippur do we say it out loud? So the simple reason is because on Yom Kippurim we're all in the category of angels, malachim. We don't eat, we don't drink, we wear white, our feet are together, we stand the whole day, a part of the day, we behave, we are free from sin. On the Yom Kippurim, the sun is on the Kadreg, we are clean, we are pure. Therefore, we are in the same status as Malachim, so we're one of them. We're one of the big boys. And we're one of them. Memela, there's no jealousy, there's no harm in us saying Baruch Shem Kemalchuso Yolam Wed out loud. Yeah.
Friend has the other way that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's saying, Kol Yisrael, I went up for 4 days and I didn't eat, I didn't drink. So what's the shot? He didn't eat, didn't drink. So he says, I had to come down a level. I would eat and I would drink, but I had to come down a level.
I had to come down a level?
Yeah, to be like the Malachim.
To be like the Malachim, aha. I went down. Psst. I went down a level. Very interesting. I went down to be like the Malachim. Interesting. So we have over here this idea that that's the most popular reason why we say Baruch Shem. But I saw two other reasons which caught my attention. There are many other reasons. A lot of them I don't understand their way. They're very Kabbalistic and they're very esoteric. But there are two reasons that caught my attention. Number one, very simple reason. Yom Kippurim used to be like this. Today, unfortunately, it's becoming less and less. Was the day that every Jew showed up in the Beis HaKnesses. Whether you're observant, you're not observant, you're anti-religious, whatever you are, Yom HaKippurim you don't mess around with. You may be Mechal Shabbos, but Yom Kippur, you show up, you pay your respects, you come to the Beis HaKnesses. So in the Beis HaKnesses, on Yom HaKippurim, it was very common to have Amaratzim, people that are completely ignorant. And they watched the Chachamim, the Talmidei Chachamim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then they start whispering. Now these Amaratzim, they're not davening, because they don't even know how to daven. They're just coming because Yitzum Shoyom. They got very suspicious. What are these people whispering? What are they whispering? And it's, in fact, the Gemara, the Tarumas Haminim, the Apikarsim, or people that are looking for trouble, they would suspect that the Chachamim are saying things. Who knows what they're saying? They're cursing us. They're saying things of Avodah Zarah. They're praying to idols. In order that the Minim, the people who are not fully observant, when they come to the Beis HaKnesses, you have to have transparency. This is the makar for the key word today in the corporate world, right? The corporate world, transparency. It's mamash what it comes from. You know why you say Baruch Shem Kemalchus Sol Yolam Ve? Because all of the Amaratzim are here today. And they don't trust us. They probably don't trust. They don't know what's going on. They don't know this whole service. And if they see us shushking, they get suspicious. So for the sake of transparency, nothing to do with Malachim and with Yaakov and Moshe, all our cards are on the table. We take out the books. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Vaed. Malachim? No. I'm not afraid of the Malachim. They'll be jealous. We're okay. Unbelievable idea. This idea is cited. It's cited. I saw this in a very reliable source in Yalka Eliezer. Yalka Eliezer. I don't remember exactly where he brings it down from, but he makes a big issue about fascinating transparency, and that sets the tone for what Yom Kippur is all about. Yom Kippur is a day you have to recognize there are no secrets. It's the day when all the secrets come out. You can run the whole year, you can run, but in Yom Kippur you can't hide. That's it. It's the day when all the secrets come out, and it sets the tone of the whole Nusach HaTfilah when you're saying Baruch Shem to reveal these transparency. Now, another idea I came across, which is a very powerful idea, comes from the Kliyakar. Kliyakar wrote another sefer called the Oileloi Sefrayim. And there he says an unbelievable idea. Why do we say Baruch Shem quietly? Because in the Baruch Shem it concludes with the words Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'et, forever and ever. Those words, the words Baruch Shem are good. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso, no, they're good, they're okay, we can deal with those words. But a human being living in this world cannot deal with the concept of Le'olam Vo'et. There's nothing that's forever. Some things don't even make it through the day. It's hard to get through one day, a few hours. Le'olam Vo'et? And a human being to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his Kvoid Malchusa will exist, Le'olam Vo'et, it is impossible for a mortal man to relate to the concept of Nitzchias. Who are we fooling? We can talk about today, tomorrow, a year, 5 years, 10 years. Man lives 70 years. It's hard to remember what goes on from one day to the next. Le'olam Vo'et. This concept is beyond us. It's a purely spiritual concept. Therefore, the whole year, whenever you say Le'olam Vo'et, it's either going to be in a hush, because we can't deal with it, or we'll say in Aramaic. When you say in Aramaic, Yehei Shmei Rava Mivarach Le'olam Ulel Me'omaya, when you're saying in Aramaic, that already dilutes the toikef, the power of the words. The only day of the year where there's any hope for a mortal to relate to this grand concept of Nitzchias is Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, we're not eating, we're not drinking, we're not working, we're locked in. We're locked in, Yom Kippur. It's V'nitzem es nafsho sechem. It's a day of pure, unadulterated spirituality. It's the only chance, the only crack we have at the concept of Le'olam Vo'et. And therefore, to differentiate between this idea, when we can have Le'olam Vo'et, when we can't, the whole year it's said quietly, and on Yom Kippur it's said out loud. Okay, so those are a few short ideas. Tomorrow we'll continue.